All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Hey, welcome to Veterans Radio. We're really glad to have you back. And welcome to a new year of Veterans Radio. This is our first benefits program of the year, and we've got all of our regular crew here. We've got Carol Ann Falson from Legal Help for Veterans. We've got David Sims from the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office. And we've got Brian Hayes, the Director of Communications at the Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center. So we're here. The experts are all here. So if you have any questions about benefits, give us a call. The number in Ann Arbor is 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600 for those of you that are listening to the program live. I should put that in there for right now. So as I mentioned, we are going to be talking about benefits, some of the changes that have occurred in the benefit structure, I guess you could say, some of the things that have changed in the on the health side as well, because I've got some really nice reports that have come out how well the VA is doing compared to public hospitals and medical systems out there. So we're really excited to talk a little bit about that. And as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about disability. And I guess I would really be remiss if I didn't mention that there is a football game this afternoon, and all of us are all dressed up in our Honolulu blue, and we are hoping that the Lions will make the next leap forward, take out those 49ers. And I think if that happens, this whole Southeast Michigan has already had a very exciting and successful football season with the University of Michigan. National champions Wolverines, I should point out to everyone, and with the Lions making their run. So it's pretty exciting. So fingers are crossed, toes are crossed. Everybody hopes that they play their best game, and we'll see how it comes out at the end. But it doesn't start for a while. So make sure that you stick around here on Veterans Radio. Before we get into talking with my guests, I want to make sure that we thank our sponsors. We can't do this program without them and without you as our listeners, of course. But our corporate sponsors, I guess you could say, we want to start out with Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans disability claims. Give them a call at 800-693-4800. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. For more information, you can go to their website. That's nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. I should mention that if you are a veteran-owned business and you want to do business with the federal government and many corporations, you need to be certified that you are really a veteran-owned business. These are the folks that can help you do that. nvbdc.org. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, one of the five-star VA hospitals across the country. We're very pleased and proud of the facility there. For more information, you can go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. We also want to thank our local veterans organizations for their longtime support. Just a reminder to everybody, this is actually in the middle of our 20th year now, and these folks have been there since the first day. Number one is the Irwin Prescorn American Legion Post 46 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. If you would like to have your corporation sponsor Veterans Radio, all you need to do is go to our website. That's veteransradio.org and click on the donate button or sponsorship button there on the front page of our website, and all that information that you need is there and it's available for you. All right, so let's get right into this, I guess we could say. So first of all, let's talk about the healthcare system, and that's our expert for that is Brian Hayes, and Brian is the he's the communications director of the health system specialist, publicly all kinds of names after your after your name, Brian. But welcome back, Brian, and start filling us in a little.
Well, welcome back, everybody. After the holidays, it's good. Yeah. It's good to get the year started off on another Veterans Radio episode for the benefits program. Lots of really good stuff going on at the Ann Arbor VA. You know, we've got some great celebrations coming up. In fact, the Vietnam Veterans Day is coming up March 29th, and we celebrate that at the Ann Arbor VA. We'll have stuff going on for that. We're going to be doing a groundbreaking, not a big one, but because the building is already there, but a bit of a groundbreaking for the new Findlay, Ohio, community-based outpatient clinic that we're getting ready to build. That'll be four new clinics for the Ann Arbor healthcare system in the last 3 years. So we're putting these clinics out. You know, you want to go where the veterans are, and that's what we're trying to do. And then of course, we've got a really big celebration that's near and dear to our hearts. And that's the naming of the women's clinic that's coming up at the end of May. You'll be hearing a lot more about that as things roll out and as planning gets more into high gear. And then of course, I don't want to forget, you know, as long as we're on and veterans locally are listening, remember we have our brand new clinics in Adrian, Michigan, Canton, Michigan, and in Howell, Michigan. So if those areas are closer to where you are, you can transfer your care to your primary care and mental health and a few other things, to those clinics. So you don't have to drive so far to get to the medical center, and the parking is fabulous.
a little bit easier to get around. Before we went on the air, I was talking with Brian, and the clinics are not just around the Ann Arbor healthcare system. There are many VA health programs around the country that are opening up these clinics.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's about getting, you know, smaller clinics to where, you know, veterans don't have to go so far to get to the big medical centers, you know, to get their health care. Cause oftentimes you don't need to go to the hospital for a quick doctor checkup, right? You know, you don't need to go to the medical center for that. You can just do that at your local clinic. And that's really what we're trying to do, is so to make things a lot easier, a lot more convenient for veterans.
I think that's awesome that you're able to do that. We also mentioned on an article that we were talking about the quality of care at the VA medical centers. And, you know, sometimes we hear some people out there making comments that are, you know, they're not necessarily satisfied, but it seems like the numbers are really high as far as satisfaction with what kind of care we do get at the VAs.
Well, yeah, the numbers are very high. And of course, you know, we always regret if there's someone that's not having a positive experience at the VA. And, you know, we complete over 700,000 appointments a year. And unfortunately, some of those aren't going to go as expected. And so, you know, we do the best we can. But overall, Ann Arbor receiving a 5-star rating from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, known as CMS. And these are the folks that go out and rate hospitals all over the country, including VAs and civilian hospitals as well. And when, you know, they rate them sort of, they don't rate them against each other, but they rate them based on 10 measures of quality. And we at our hospital outperform non-VA hospitals on all 10 core patient satisfaction metrics, all 10. And that put us at a 5-star, which is even above the medical centers that are around us, you know, such as U of M and Chelsea and all, you know, a lot of other hospitals. So we're very proud of that, and you know, want to get that word out too.
Well, I there's not much we can say about what is occurring. There's so many positive things that are going on at the Ann Arbor VA, especially, but I think at VA centers across the country. And so I just encourage people out there, and this is again what we always encourage all of you veterans that are listening, that don't go to your VA. We really encourage you to go and at least register and sign up, because it's free. You're not going to, you know, they don't charge you to register for anything. And, you know, the specialists, you know, many of the VA centers are near major medical centers, as ours is in Ann Arbor. And I know that there are other ones around the country that are associated with, you know, big universities and so forth, medical schools. In fact, I don't know. I don't think I've had an appointment at the VA hospital in a long time where the person wasn't, I don't know what they call it, jointly appointed at the VA and at the U of M hospital.
Yeah, it's called co-appointed. Yeah, they're usually faculty at the U of M. Yeah.
So, you know, the opportunity for great care is there. And please, you know, I can't tell you enough about this, because I've run into 3 or 4 people, older veterans, even beyond the Vietnam generation, who have never been inside a VA hospital. And they've got conditions that were accelerated, I think.
Yeah.
The term, that were accelerated by their exposures to all kinds of things.
Yeah. And they're just leaving money on the table, not only benefits, but the money that they're spending on private healthcare. And, you know, they could be getting that done at the VA.
Yes. I know we've got a caller on the line for disability, but I'm going to ask Brian to be patient for a second here.
Sure.
No, that there's a Brian on the line as well. Wow, you're a really popular name. I bet you didn't know that.
There's a lot of us out there, especially ones born in the mid 60s. Something about that name.
There you go. There you, go.
One other thing it's really awesome on the healthcare side that we don't think about. And if this is new for business, I'm sure Brian Hayes knows this, but on the healthcare side, the VA is number one across the board for research. And one of the new areas is in the ALS. And down in the Houston area, they are at the Michael DeBakey Center, they are doing all the new research for ALS. And so that's another important thing for our listeners and our clients, because we represent at Legal Help for Veterans nationwide. When we're aware of the research that's going on in different parts of the country, we encourage our clients to ask their primary teams how they could get involved and should they be involved in research. So I think that's really important when you've got these special conditions that you might be able to enter into some of these outstanding research projects. Because as Brian knows, we combined our services at Ann Arbor with the University of Michigan. And what a great platform to be looking at some of these interesting diseases that are out there to be doing research. And, you know, that's how you find out some of the cures for the different cancers and maybe ALS future down the road.
You know, it's easy to kind of forget about the involvement that VA has in research and how, gosh, I don't know what the word is, but just how gigantic the contributions of VA have been to health research overall many, many, many decades. You know, VA invented the nicotine patch, right? A lot of people forget that. We did the first heart transplant. Even technologically, VA invented the electronic health record. So no matter where you go for your healthcare, when your doctor is sitting there typing everything into the electronic health record, VA invented the first one back in the 80s. So, I mean, and that's just some of it. We've got great research going on in Ann Arbor into PTSD and ketamine, and all kinds of PTSD research going on in Ann Arbor. So, including, you know, therapy dogs and, service dogs. Gosh, my brain right now is just flooded with all the research that's going on. But, you know, Ann Arbor is one of the key sources of research in the VA.
Well, one thing that you were saying about ALS, if you are a veteran and you're diagnosed with ALS, doesn't matter if you're where you were, when you were in the military, that is a presumptive condition for the military, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Space Force. If you come down with ALS and you were in the military, it's presumed it was because of the military. So just remember that.
I think that goes along with so many of the other things that are presumptive that we don't even think about.
Correct.
That, you know, so anybody out there that has a question on a disability, you know, just check in. Find out what's going on. You know, you never know if the condition that you are, you know, you've been living with for years and years and years is something that you might have contracted or was exacerbated by your time in the service. I don't want to lose Brian on the phone, not the Brian on the phone. So let me bring him in. He's from Ann Arbor. And Brian, welcome to Veterans Radio. You had a question about disability?
Yes, thank you. I could never get a straight answer on this. I'm 100% disabled. Someone had told me if I'm 100% after 10 years, my spouse would get my disability that I currently have. Is that true?
That's a good question. I have heard that myself. So if I'm 100%, this is 100% permanent, whatever the term is. If I die after the 10 years, my wife continues to get that amount is general. David, which one of you would like to address that issue?
So after 10 years, you can, how I always put it is, before 10 years, you have to pass away of one of your service-connected disabilities. After 10 years, you can pass of anything, and they don't get your disability amount. They get what is called dependency, indemnity, and compensation.
Right.
So currently it's around 16 something and some change per month, tax-free. And they still get, in Michigan, you still get your property tax waiver, but you don't get the same amount that you're receiving.
Yes. Yeah. But, and David, exactly correct, but Brian on the phone, it doesn't happen automatically for your widow, your spouse. They have to apply for DIC, and they have to take your paperwork, prove that they were married, to say the tax adjuster to your county, or, and you have to apply with a VSO, Legal Help for Veterans, go to the county, and do the DIC. Nothing happens automatically just because, the veteran passes. Does that help a little bit?
Is that in writing anywhere?
Yes, it's in the 38 CFR.
Yes.
Whatever. What is the 38 CFR?
That's all the laws. Go ahead, General.
Well, it's the regulations. The other thing that I think David alluded to that I think is critical, just because you're 10 years in paperwork, you want to be total and permanent. And if you're total and permanent, the other big factor is, if somebody calls you up, like somebody from the regional office or somebody, and says, hey, you need to come in and do an exam. We just had this happen recently. You need to get to your VSO, county counselor, your claims developer at Legal Help for Veterans, and say, hey, I got this call. They're pulling me in for an exam. No, if you're total and permanent, you're total and permanent. You don't have to go back in for any more exams.
If I should die from a service-connected disability, is that the same amount?
That's correct.
Yep.
So if you're 100%, that's, what is that? That's a little over $3,000 a month now, disability?
With a spouse, it's around probably $3,900.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I forgot the raises and things that COLAs. So in planning, you'd have to be allow for her, the survivor, to end up at around 1600.
Yeah, it's 1612.75 right now.
Right. And the other critical thing, Dale, because we see this happen, once you're greater than 30% disability, make sure our listening audience knows to tell the, once again, your VSO, your county counselor, or somebody at Legal Help for Veterans, that you have a spouse, or you have children, a dependent, so that they get added at 30%. We just recently found somebody that was sitting at 80% for a long period of time, had a spouse, and they were never added. They came to us and they wanted to continue on. Nobody ever told them about adding the spouse, and that was a loss of benefits for many, many years. See, you find out all these things depending as you go along. And so we were able to help them put the spouse on, but we can't go back all those years and get that money or that benefit for that spouse.
Okay. Brian on the phone, is that, hopefully that helps you answer your question. And if you have any, you know, additional questions, are you from the Ann Arbor area?
Yes.
Well, I would suggest then either giving Legal Help for Veterans a call or give David a call with the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office, and they could probably go into greater detail with you to make sure everything's all in order.
And that CFR, if you Google 38 CFR 3.22, that is what covers the DIC benefits.
Could you repeat that, David?
Sure. 38 CFR 322.
CFR 322?
Yeah, Google that. It'll come up, and you can read the law, the regulation.
Okay. So hopefully, Brian, that's right, helped out. Okay.
Yep, thank you.
All right, thank you very much for giving us a call. Again, that number here, thank you for Brian for calling in. This is what we're here for, folks, every month. The last Sunday of the month is to answer any questions that you might have, because the VA system gets a little complicated sometimes, you know, not only with the disability, but also with the health care, too. So, you know, these are the people that could answer your questions or at least point you in the right direction for that. So again, in continuing on with the disability claim, are there any, I'll go talking to David right now, because I know, David, you have to leave a little bit earlier. Are there any particular changes in the disability side of the VA that we need to be aware of?
Well, I know you sent me an article, and what they were covering were a bit of the PACT Act, but also the I think it was 3.2 increase on the, is it 3.2 or 3.4 general?
The COLA increase?
Yeah, the COLA.
Yeah, I thought it was 3.4, David.
Yep, 3.4. So they were talking about that increase. And they do have one that I was turned on to, a law that was just passed through, it's called the Veterans Restitution and Justice Act. And it would change the effective date of a veteran's claim to allow veterans who experience sexual trauma during their service to receive retroactive disability benefits starting from the date after their discharge from service rather than the date of claim. So that's huge.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah. So, and that's a tough one. MST claims are tough, you know, because they've been living with that a lot of their life, and then they finally come into a VSO or legal help for veterans and get it off their chest. And then you file that claim, and the VA looks for those certain markers in service, and they even have a dedicated person at each one of the ROs that goes through the service treatment records and the personnel file and checks for those markers. And they put special effort, work on that for the MSTs, because they don't want to come out and say, yes, you know, something happened in service, or they'll get the retribution that they're going to get kicked out of the military. And so they just live with it. And so I think that's huge for our veterans.
David, you know, the interesting thing is this past week, I talked to two individuals, two women who found out, kind of searched me out, believe it or not, and two different stories. One very sad, that this occurred during training and reported it and was told nothing would ever happen. Barely got through training, and then attempted to get a discharge, did get an honorable discharge, but, you know, with training, you don't go very far. And so went through that. And then recently, what prompted her to search me out is the VA, and I don't want to give it away, it's not our state, called her and said, we understand you searched us, you came into us to try to get service and help several years ago, and we said there was nothing that could be done. You know, they reached out to her to have her come back in and go to the women's clinic and to see what they could do to help her now. Now, there's no disability benefits she could apply for, but maybe she could get some health through the VA. And so I think the healthcare side, that one is really good. It might be able to give her some recourse and counseling because it never happened on active duty. And the second one, as you just described, she did file for a disability. She got a denial, but they are going to go back and look at it. So I, you know, two different scenarios. But I'm hoping some good will come out of both.
And General, I think you should look at that first scenario, because I had one same problem that something happened during basic training in the Marines, and she had twins because of it, and I got it service connected.
Excellent. Excellent.
This is what happens, folks out there. Don't ignore your claims. If something happened to you, especially if on the side of, you know, sexual assault or anything along those lines, or anything, you just never know what is going to be covered, what is not going to be covered. And, you know, you don't want to regret 10, 15 years down the road that you were, you know, that you didn't take advantage of the benefits that you're entitled to. Because, you know, it's a cliche, but all of you were willing to give up your lives for this country. And this is what all we can do from the standpoint of the VA's system. I'm not connected, but this is all that they can do to help you and pay you for that service. No, you never would have been exposed to half of the things that, you know, that many of us come down with if we had just stayed out of the service.
You know, and I'll make this statement too. And we see it not as much, but males could be sexually assaulted. It doesn't occur as much that I've seen in my career as much as females, but it has occurred.
Well, I am sure that, you know, there are plenty of examples of bullying. Let's put it that way. I mean, many of us who went through basic training, there always seemed to be one person that wanted to take on everybody for whatever reason that was there. And then I can think of a guy in basic training I went through. He was a National Guard from Massachusetts, and we were in Louisiana, and he was not in the best condition. Let's put it that way. And they just drove him out, and he ended up disappearing one day. And, you know, the word was that he was sent to the motivational platoon. So, you know, and I'm sure that traumatized him for the last 50 years. But things like that are out there. And it's really, you know, this is what these folks do. So if you're a veteran and you've had a bad experience somewhere in the service that has affected your life forever, it's not a bad idea to go and talk to these. I mean, even go to the VA and just talk to a counselor. There are excellent social workers available. All of these things, you know, don't keep it all bottled up inside of you, folks. I guess that's where I'm trying to go with this, because it's just going to eat away at you, and you don't want to take that opportunity away from yourself. So we need to take a break, David. I know that you need to head off. And you gave me a little bit more time. Okay. All right. Well, we're still going to take a break. We're going to do our Medal of Honor segment, and then we will come back. And hopefully if you have a question, we will answer it. Otherwise, we're going to go to our experts and let's see what's going on in the healthcare side and on the disability side. The number is 734-822-1600. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Sergeant First Class Nelson Britton killed 20 enemy soldiers and destroyed 4 automatic weapons. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans' Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Britton, a member of Company I, volunteered to lead his squad up a hill with meager cover against murderous fire. He ordered his squad to give him support, and in the face of withering fire and bursting shells,
tossed a grenade at the nearest enemy position. On returning to his squad, he was knocked down and wounded by an enemy grenade. Refusing medical attention, he replenished his supply of grenades and returned, hurling grenades into hostile positions and shooting the enemy as they fled. When his weapon jammed, he leaped without hesitation into a foxhole and killed the occupants with his bayonet and the butt of his rifle. He continued to wipe out foxholes and, noting that his squad had been pinned down, rushed to the rear of a machine gun position, threw a grenade into the nest, and ran around to its front where he killed all three occupants with his rifle. Less than 100 yards up the hill, his squad again came under vicious fire from another camouflaged, sandbagged, machine gun nest well flanked by supporting riflemen. Britton again charged this new position in an aggressive endeavor to silence this remaining obstacle and ran direct into a burst of automatic fire that killed him instantly. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest among us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. If you know a veteran in crisis, don't wait. Reach out. Call the Veterans Crisis Line at 988, then press 1. 988, press 1. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
And we're back here on Veterans Radio, and we're going to let Brian Hayes go. He's on from the healthcare side, unless you have a question right away out there, anybody. Brian, thanks very much. I know you'll be back next month, and we'll fill everybody in on what's happening in the healthcare end of the business.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, go Brian. Lions. It's everybody. I know you really want to get closer to the game as it goes along. That Medal of Honor that we just paid, I was listening to it. When we recorded, we never told you what war it was. It was the Korean War. Nelson Britton received his Medal of Honor for his actions during the Korean War. So I just wanted to get caught up on that. So we are talking now with David Sames from the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office and retired General Carol Ann Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans. Is there anything else any new things that either one of you have come across recently that our audience would be really interested in finding out about?
I don't know about so much new. I know I have presented it on the Veterans Radio before, and I can't stress enough about with the VA adding all these new presumptive conditions. And if the veteran service member dies and they have a wife, and they die of that condition, well, there's benefits like we just talked about, DIC for them. Mm-hmm. And that could be now, again, with the PACT Act, not only did they add a lot of things for Afghanistan, well, Southwest Asia, right. They also expanded Agent Orange benefits to the Royal Thai Air Force bases, right? So it used to be if you were an MP on the line, they said, okay, yeah, you're eligible for that. But now it's the whole base, right? So if that veteran died of one of those presumptive conditions, even if it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we can apply for DIC. And I've had two spouses that they went back to the date of the veteran's death. One was in 09 and another one was in 11. And that was, you know, that changed their lives a lot, right? So there is, if you know of somebody that was married to a veteran and they didn't get remarried, or if they got remarried after age, I think it's 56 and a half now, then they can apply for that. And I just want to stress that.
Well, I think that is so important. That's something that none of us would even think about in most cases. You know, if I'm just thinking, I have a friend. How far back do they go? I better put it this way. I have a very good friend who passed away from leukemia, which was not the right one at the time. Well, that must have been 2012. And I don't think his spouse has gotten anything from the VA.
Now, if it's not the right one, you would have to fight, right?
Yeah.
Because AML That is, it is a cancer that is right before they can call it leukemia, but they can't call it leukemia because of chromosome change. But I've had I'm hitting my third one that I've got, them service connected for that death. I mean, you have to go to the Board of Veteran Appeals, but, it is, it should be on the presumptive list, and we have to fight it, right? But it's always good to get a second look and a second opinion. Yeah. Just like those two spouses did, they got denied, and one was in Thailand and the other one was in Guam. So it's huge for their, to the dependents.
The other thing is, to be really honest, if they're Agent Orange, as David was just talking, and it might be, you know, the wrong. They probably have other diseases, other things along with other presumptives and other things going along with that, with their service. And there is no time limit to this. I think David hit a big one on this one. It's not like when you get a denial and you've got to react within a year. The DIC with death, there's no time limit to this. So they, our spouses, the widows really need to take advantage of this.
I'm going to figure out how I can go, I can help her out and get her to do this. Cause I know she says, no, we weren't entitled. You know, and one of those things, well, no. And then, you know, isn't going to follow up on it. So I'm going to have to talk to the kid,
well,
the children.
Need to talk to, yeah, to have somebody, you know, call either David, depending on where she lives, in a VSO, county counselor, somebody, though, that is extremely knowledgeable that could help. And that's really important, too. And I'm not being cynical about that, but sometimes having somebody that could spout out and, you know, help the person and say, yes, this is what you're eligible for, and convince them and put trust in them and help them with the paperwork, not say, hey, you fill out this paperwork and I'll pass it through. But no, walk them through and literally hold their hand and do it for them. Then I think that makes them feel a lot more comfortable.
I would agree, because I can't imagine, you know, there are so many veterans out there that are so stoic. They, you know, they're fine. You know, I'm fine. And, no, somebody else needs it more than I do. And, you know, you've heard all the stories, but I think it's up to, us here at Veterans Radio is to continue to get the word out that it's never too late. It's, you know, and it's something that you have earned. It's something you're entitled to, and it's there. You know, that was one of the agreements that they made with you, that if anything happened to you, they promised to take care of you, and from the healthcare side and from the disability side. So that's why we always encourage our listeners to contact, you know, the local VA wherever they live across the country, and to contact their local VSO or to contact, you know, Carol Ann with Legal Help for Veterans. They're nationwide, and there are many great organizations out there that are more than willing to help. And the other thing to remember is that they don't charge you a dime to help you with your claims.
You know,
am I correct with that?
I totally agree with that. And you know, the interesting thing is, and I hope he's still listening, I really want to give a shout out to Brian, who called in today with his question, because you know, when we get veterans who say, I don't deserve it, you know, I don't want it for me. No, but think about your spouse. And that's what he was doing. He mm-hmm. asked the questions about his spouse, what happens after I die, because then the spouse, and if they have children, they will benefit. The children can't literally apply for it, but the wife, you know, and then there's always, with being 100%, you know, then that is huge with your tax abatement. And so I think that's really critical to know what some of these benefits are.
I agree. It's really important. And there's so many little nuances in the rules and the laws and everything. And I think it's, you know, the having the advantage of talking to somebody who's experienced, like both you and David are, is really helpful. Because you know, and you know, because we, as the clients in this case, you know, we don't know all the questions they ask. And, you know, maybe, what is it? I have a friend who's, has been asked by the VA to pay back some money. And, she's going, what? You know, her husband passed away as a result of his exposure to Agent Orange and so forth. And now she's supposed to go to the regional office to talk to somebody about this amount of money that they want to take back. And, you know, imagine facing that on your own. So, you know,
you don't want to do that. You can file a debt waiver, and it could be where, you know, it was the month of death check, and maybe she's eligible for DIC now. Yes. And then she's eligible for that month of death check, but they have to take it away and then give it back to her in her name. If she's eligible for DIC. So
what was the second word you use?
Month of death check.
Okay.
Right. Yep.
Is that like Social Security? If you die by a certain date, you have to return the Social Security check or portions of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. But we also saw just recently, getting David brought that up, they finally decided on a veteran's disability claim. Poor veteran died. He got the check in the mail after his death. Okay. That check has to be returned. So the wife, now the spouse, calls us and says, do I have to return this check? Yes. So they returned the check, but then we filed and she got it back. And then we applied for DIC because they are truly entitled to that. We did what was called an immediate substitution. That means any outstanding claims goes to the spouse. As the VA continues to adjudicate any open claims for that veteran, because the old rumor, when the veteran dies, all the claims dies. False. If you contact us right away, but that's a time-limited issue. It has to be filed, the substitution, within 1 year of death, then the spouse, the widow, could get the money. But in this case, we had to return that, apply for substitution, and then she got that money that the veteran would have deposited. But he passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I think the other thing is to encourage all of our veterans who are on disability, have that file available somewhere, you know, with your DD-214 in it and, you know, the marriage license and so on and so forth, so that if something happened to me, for instance, my wife could just, don't know where the file is, but you know, grab the file, call you, one of you guys right there, and say, okay, now what?
Right.
Okay, David, I want to thank David Sames from the Washtenaw County Veteran Service Office for stopping by today. I appreciate it very much. Thank you very much. And as you say, go Lions.
Go Lions.
Thanks.
He'll be back. Okay. All right, Carol Ann, it's just you and I right now. And so what have you been working on lately? I know the woman's clinic is very important to you at our local VA. And in fact, my primary care doctor now works at the women's clinic 3 days a week.
Oh, it's so awesome. And well, as Brian sort of alluded to it, there will be a date coming up hopefully soon. But I'll tell you, that women's center, helping our women and the privacy there, and not only addressing the MST, but a lot of the issues that women go through that are totally unique, cardiology and the physical therapy and pelvic training, and just a ton of different physicians that are operating out of that women's center in all of the facilities around the country. You need women out there listening, you need to go in and see and talk to the woman coordinator. And we're very lucky with our woman coordinator at the Ann Arbor VA. And so that's another benefit. You know, we talk about that. Now, that's on the VHA side.
Right.
And, you know, predominantly day by day, I deal with the VBA side, but I help our men and women get connected on the VHA side to get their benefits and to get in. And I want to talk about this because we've been seeing more and more of this. So through the VBA side, the benefit side, they will arrange, say at a regional office, they will arrange for your appointment, whether it's through the contract service to go in and get an appointment for whichever disability claim we've submitted for you. So whether it's hearing or stomach issues or heart issues, and you'll go in for your exam. If that exam, we've been noticing that our veterans have been getting a call or not getting a call. This has been happening a little lately, that they haven't been notified that they're scheduled for an exam. And then they get a call. Dale, why didn't you show up for your appointment? I never was notified. Well, if that happens, you need to communicate with either the VSO, the county counselor, call us, so that it doesn't get registered, you were a no-show. That's mm-hmm. really critical. We've been seeing that happen. If the contracted service calls you and you can't make the appointment, oh, can you make an appointment on February 2? No, I can't. Tell them that you can't and try to work with that contracted company. Because that's predominantly what the VA's been doing right now,
right,
outsourcing. Yeah. And try to work with them to get a scheduled appointment that is good for you to go to. And then please keep those appointments. If something comes up, communicate with either the VSO, I hate to be a Polly Parrot, Legal Hub for Veterans, the county. If something comes up and you can't go, because then you'll be listed as a no-show, and that's not good because you'll most likely get a denial on your claim. And then it's like we're starting all over again.
Right. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to let our audience know is that, you know, once you have settled on your, whoever is going to help you, the VSO, Veterans Service Officer, whether it's a county officer or American Legion, it's a Legal Help for Veterans type of organization, then you've got a representative. I mean, it's like having a lawyer. And, you know, if you have to go to some meeting, many of these organizations will send somebody with you. So, you know, you're not going into this room where, you know, it's sort of like you're sitting there in front of this, all these judges, and they're asking you, throwing all these questions at you. You've got somebody that can represent you. And I think that that is really important. And I wanted to make sure that our audience is aware of these things. You are not alone.
No. And if you get a letter, you need to call that representative. You need to let us know, because they're supposed to send us a letter, or your representative, whoever it is. Sometimes the system doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
You get the notice before we do, or sometimes we find out your results before you do. It could be favorable. Or if you have a bad exam, we've had veterans to call us and say, oh, I just had a horrible exam. They asked me a question, or I got in the room and they asked me for something I didn't even apply for. Or they thought I was somebody else. So I think those are really important reasons to communicate. And I love the way you just said that, Dale. Communicate with your representative.
I have been working with folks at Legal Help, and I've worked with folks at the county level for my own issues, let's put it that way. And some of the exams went really well, and some of them had me drive, you know, they wanted me to drive 50 miles to get my blood pressure checked. And by the time I got there, my blood pressure was through the roof. And it's just, you need, not everybody out there is a good, can make a good case for themselves. And that's why we encourage you every month to, to talk to these experts out there, whether you're a member of a veterans organization or you just need help, that you utilize these professionals. This is what they do. I can't even express how much training that they all have to go through. And especially once you get somebody that has experience. And that's really great for your advantage to have the experience levels there.
Well, and I think the great thing is the panel that you've constructed over all the years, Dale, we utilize one another. I mean, I'm going to call David and see how he got his young lady, for MST. Mm-hmm. Benefits and see how I could wiggle and help the other young lady, after her 20 years, the fact that the VA called her back, that's really huge. And I think that's the beautiful thing, to know your resources, to make calls, to be able to know that somebody's out there willing to help you. And don't give up hope. I keep saying that. Mm-hmm. Don't give up hope. There's so many of us out there. We want to help you. If somebody tells you, no, there's nothing you can do, don't believe that. Reach out to somebody else.
I think that's very true. There is no real final no out there until you're gone. And even then, your spouse can keep the fight going.
Absolutely.
And that was really important issue. I thought that was brought up today was the idea that, the spouse whoever is left is entitled to some sort of compensation out there, and to, don't just put it aside and say, the veteran has died and that's the end of it.
Yep.
Utilize what's available to you and never give up, never surrender type of thing. All right. We've got to wrap it up here. We're coming up to the end of the program. So I want to make sure that we thank General Carol Ann Frasson, Air Force retired nurse. That's why we have her on the program every month. It's why we're so grateful to Legal Help for Veterans for their support of our program over the almost 20 years entire of the whole thing. And so thank you very much.
Thank you, Carol Ann.
Go Lions.
Go Lions, go Blue. We're so excited. National champions.
There you go. Yeah, but we're not prejudiced about that here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks.
We are going to be coming up here to the end of the program. And that, as we've been doing the last couple of weeks, we play a song. We're playing God Bless America. And this song this week is by the Brothers of the Heart from the Grand Ole Opry 2022. So until next week, this is Dale Thornberry and all of us here at Veterans Radio. You are dismissed.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the ocean, white with foam.